to another episode of the Future Positive Podcast, powered by Capitalize. I'm your host, Phil Hobden, Head of Customer Education and Engagement at Capitalize. And as always, I'm joined by Kirsty McGregor, founder of the Corporate Finance Network and Capitalize's very own accountant in residence. How are you, Kirsty? Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Phil. I hope no one can tell, but I'm a little bit flustered. I've just been stuck in traffic, just horrendous. But anyway, I'm here. So I apologise to Rowan for keeping him waiting for 5 minutes.
It's all right. It happens.
It's just life. Just life, isn't it?
It is, in the way. Right? Like, this is the world we live in. It's what the world's been since the start of COVID. This kind of random thing of poor internet and poor travel, depending on where we are in the restriction curve, and everything else. But you know, it is what it is. Well, look, I think you've buried the lead a little bit there. You've given away.
Oh, sorry, I always do that. I steal it.
To be fair, I always say that, and then I always think, well, actually, like, Rowan's name will literally be in the title of the episode. So anyone that's listened to it will probably already know. So we're not really. It's also be in the description. I would have posted it on social in the morning.
We'd have tagged him. Yeah,
we would have tagged him. I think me saying you buried the lead. Yeah, unless all of a sudden you've stumbled on this by some random accident and you've gone, oh, look, I think people will probably know. But anyway, look, our guest this episode, you got me at it now.
I've got you flustered, sorry.
Our guest this episode is someone that I've known for actually quite a few years. Rowan Van Tromp, Operation Director for App Advisory Plus. For those of you that don't know, App Advisory Plus has been launched as a platform to support accounting firms deliver new revenue opportunities by supporting business clients to get the most from cloud accounting platforms by utilizing integrated apps. And actually, that's kind of how I first came across Rowan, is about apps in some of my space in the app world. So previously to App Advisory Plus, he was an accountant in practice working for PJCO down in Shoreham-by-Sea. Even though he lived somewhere completely nowhere near Shoreham-by-Sea. But, you know, he was down there and he headed up their cloud services and implementing new software. So, Rowan, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for inviting me, Phil.
And pleasure.
I've got quite a distinctive name there, haven't I? So if you've seen it once, you'll probably recognise me.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we worked together back in my kind of forecasting days and working with you when you were at PJCO. So you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, we always joke in this world and this app world that it's quite a you know, like, people move from roles. And one of the things I am seeing a lot more of is people like yourself, accountants, moving from being an accountant. You never stop being an accountant, right? But moving into the vendor space, or where you are in that kind of hybrid vendor stroke space. It's interesting, isn't it? Quite a lot of that happens.
Yeah, it does. I mean, for me personally, it happened because it's just more exciting for me, and probably I'm better at the accountant tax returns. I never really enjoyed doing that kind of thing. I much preferred helping people out with their systems. I think I got a bigger kick out of it, and you can see a more immediate impact on someone's life, I guess, by helping them out with systems. My view on it.
Yeah, and you're probably right. Like you know, if you're someone that's interested in tech and everything else, and actually probably that tech side of accountancy is a really kind of fun place to be. Awesome. Well, look, Kirsty, what are we going to be talking to Rowan about this episode?
Thank you, Phil. Well, not surprisingly, we're going to be talking to him about apps and the tech
ecosystem. Are we really?
I know. I didn't think about half an hour about his name, but we will go with the professional side. So, look, Rowan, great to meet you. It's the first time we've met, and I obviously know App Advisory Plus, and I know your ecosystem and the work that you're doing in that marketplace. I guess, you know, you've been around for a few years, but then lockdown just seems to be one of those things that comes and goes nowadays, doesn't it? It just seems to be, we're partially in lockdown, we're kind of not in lockdown. But when it first happened back in March 2020, I suppose that was really where everybody realized we need to be on the cloud. It makes things so much easier. We need to be fully tech enabled. We need to be as digital as we can be. And I suppose you would have seen a massive uptick then in the activity in your business and around the whole profession in respect of apps. What was it like at that point? And did things really speed up for you?
I think there was certainly more interest in that kind of thing. And people obviously that probably knew about technology and how it might be used in their accountancy practice, but hadn't done anything before, kind of hands a bit forced in doing something. They've now got to service their clients online. All their staff are now working from home. So, and you've got to deal with like things like furlough, which are completely new. So those three challenges was like almost the perfect storm for people to decide that they need to adopt new technology. And then obviously that came with, I don't know what I'm doing really, I need some help and advice. So yeah, there was a lot more kind of people that needed that sort of help getting in touch, I guess.
And suppose you will see, from one extreme to another, you will see firms who are incredibly successful with their cloud offering, and you will also see firms that are struggling. What's the difference, really? What makes a successful cloud adoption policy and a firm that can become completely digital, that become the most efficient they can possibly be? What's a sign of a successful firm?
There's quite a lot to it, to be honest. And it starts actually with having a plan to begin with.
Yeah.
A lot of firms like that don't make a plan will I think struggle. But when you're making that plan, you need to have then some resource to actually implement the plan. And if I think back to what went well for me when I was at PJCO down in Shoreham, we had a plan. We also had backing for that plan by the partners. So you've actually got some weight behind you to make decisions and try new things. And if you've not done things like this before, a lot of it will be trying new things and seeing what works and what doesn't work. And then you need resource to actually implement it. So, and if I think back to myself, my whole role was around trying to implement. At the time, it was really preparing for Making Tax Digital by getting all the limited company clients on QuickBooks Online. And that was a whole role in itself, and just getting people onto QuickBooks Online and at the time, Dex. But luckily I had the time to be able to do that. So they'd invested, they realized that this wasn't going to make money necessarily for a year or two, but the investment was needed to actually future-proof the business for growth and have people doing things in the cloud and using technology. It takes a while for it to become efficient and for a team of staff to be more aware around like how to use the tools. So you need to provide training and support as well. It's not just a case of for both your clients and your staff, it's not just a case of, right, here's the tool, get on with it. You actually have to support people around how to do it properly. And I guess, like, it's regularly evolving the plan as well. Like, whatever I put in as the plan of what would happen at the start, I mean, that probably after 3 months was completely different. That's just how things are, so...
I suppose there's new apps that come online, but also you learn how things are integrating in your practice or not, and you become more aware, and yeah, it has absolutely to evolve.
And evolving your process, so like having a written process on how these things work that you evolve over time is important for that, because then you can bring other people into the team and help them pick up what you were previously doing. So, because obviously this is an expanding area, I think my team at the time moved from one to maybe five within a few years. And you have to have processes to allow staff to adopt those. What you need to do.
Are there any other common themes of challenges that you see firms have around this area?
And actually, sorry, just to add to that, Rowan, probably common challenges, but also common mistakes, right? Because I think the two are similar but different, right? You can have a challenge in implementation, but there's actually also mistakes in rolling this stuff out. So I'd be interested to get both perspectives, maybe.
The challenges really are, I think, special, like choosing what to use as a challenge in itself. I found that in my experience, we specialized in one accounting platform, which was QuickBooks Online. And what that meant is everyone would be trained on that. Every client would use that. Staff know what they're doing, clients know what they're doing. And you're not spreading yourself too thin with having to understand how different systems use. So if you can specialize for a broad problem that you need to solve in one solution that deals with it, then that I think is really useful. Obviously, larger firms will probably cater for more platforms, but they'll have more resource to be able to do that, and still get it right. I guess challenges are you with bringing people into technology like QuickBooks Online or Xero. A client might say, "Oh, I can see that I can integrate my job management system with this, or some other operational system. Maybe my stock system. I need a stock system that links with this." And one of the challenges is getting sucked into doing lots of research around that kind of thing for the client and doing it for free, because it really can just drain your time. I know from experience, having done this for both for free and then charging for it, it's much better when you charge for it, because it takes a long time. And the clients, if you raise that expectation that you're just going to do it, then they just expect something of you that you can't deliver very well. So I think, yeah, managing expectations is a key thing that people get wrong. And if you get it right, and this is a growing area of revenue. So if you can standardize your processes, what you actually deliver, put them into service packages, it makes it easier to actually make, even if you don't want to do it as a profit-making exercise, at least cover the costs and then reap the benefits of having people on cloud systems.
So you talked there about it being a changing market, and it is ever evolving, ever changing. But what I suppose I think, apart from there's been mergers and rebrands, in the last 12, 18 months, for me, there hasn't been a huge growth spurt in new apps and new solutions. But I'm not at the coalface like you are. I mean, what excites you the most about this market? Which areas do you see growing really fast at the moment, or you see new opportunities?
A lot of the consultancy work that I provide is around integrating systems together. So if there's no integration which exists already, but there's an API or as an integration to a tool like Zapier that allows an integration to happen, people are interested in, how can I get, I know that I put this amount of data in three different places and it all needs to talk to each other. Like, how can I make it work? And there's opportunities around that, not just for accountancy practices internally, but also to for clients. Business clients are really interested in those things. So yeah, that's one area. The gap ecosystem is growing like all the time, but I think you're right in a sense that there's not like been a real, I don't know, like different solution, like loads of different new solutions come on. So certainly one area that has been is payments. So open banking solutions seems to be a growth area at the moment, with a few different people that have managed to nail those connections with banks and provide that as a service, and that's still very early days in that. So there's probably going to be more growth in that area. And I also think that practice management has got a lot of growth potential in it still. I think there's loads of firms that will still be using spreadsheets or less useful job management systems. And once everything becomes more and more integrated, that I think practice management will be really the place where everyone goes to run their practice, get information that helps them make decisions.
Interesting. So a question for me, right? And it's something that we hear a lot of is like tech is a solution for everything, right? That's the assumption by some people. Everything should have a tech solution. And then you get other people say, well, actually, sometimes like just a spreadsheet and, you know, an Excel spreadsheet is still the best solution to the problem. So I guess as someone that's kind of at the sharp end of this, is tech always the solution, or actually is tech sometimes a way to complicate something where something more traditional can actually be as good or easier?
And are you including, I guess, Excel as the tech solution? Because still a solution,
Excel's often seen as a non-tech solution, right? Even though it's obviously a tech solution, but it's seen as a non-tech solution, which is odd because, you know, Excel is in itself a piece of technology, right? So I guess if you excluded Excel as a tech solution, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, I do regularly use not Excel, but Google Sheets in a lot of the work that I do, and it's very flexible as a tool. It's easy to adopt for people, and I think there's like huge place still for that kind of system. It does have pitfalls though, particularly around things like job management. It just doesn't do it as well as other systems would that are bespoke for that kind of thing. And inventory management, I often see inventory like people have just got spreadsheets full of what all of their inventory is that aren't up to date, and you know, you don't know which version is necessarily the true one. But I don't think technology is always the only solution, right? You need people that can actually use it and understand it, and if you don't have the mix of those two, then you've not got a solution that's going to work for you. So it has to be people, process, and technology. They all have to work together very well.
Yeah, do you know what? I train the exact same thing in my sessions, that there's that combination of people, technology, and process. And people implement the technology, you get the people that will run it, and then you forget the processes to go behind it, and you're completely right, and you take that around. And it's ironic, isn't it, that like in general, you know, the area we fail most on is the process, and you think that would probably be the area that accountants more than most would probably nail, as they're, you know, historically a process driven business, right? Or a process driven, not even business, they're process driven people generally. So it's weird that that's the bit that people fall down on. I guess my last question before I go to my actual last question is, this year's been an odd year, right? Like Kirsty said earlier, we haven't seen many innovations or new products this year, but we've seen a lot of consolidation, we've seen a lot of acquisition, and we've seen some pretty hefty investments as well. And as I say that today, there's some news about an Australian business that's had 20 million invested. PI recently had a huge Series B, Series C raise, I think it is with PI, isn't it? So what do you reckon the next 12 months has? Is it gonna be kind of a few new things coming out? Is it gonna be a lot more businesses coming together and acquisitions by large people like Sage, or is it going to be something different?
I expect that there'll be more acquisition, and I expect that there'll be more apps that come on to the market with funding, because we're still very early ages and very early in the adoption of like cloud tools in general, I think, in the accounting ecosystem. I think maybe people are on QuickBooks Online or Xero, like, and maybe they've got an invoice processing tool. I still think that there's other areas that people can are yet to explore, really, that they could benefit from.
Yeah,
so I think there's going to be continued investment from whoever it is, venture capitalists or bigger players.
Yeah, and I agree. I think this year we're going to see, I mean, I reckon we'll see more acquisitions by the big three financial management softwares for a start. I think QuickBooks, Xero and Sage all have a large war chest and, you know, constantly looking for acquisitions, as we've seen this year, right? So, Rowan, I guess last actual question then. What excites you about the future? We ask this of all of our guests here on the Future Positive podcast. So what excites you about the future?
If we stick outside of politics,
let's not touch that
space for me. But in the sort of accounting tech space, I really think, as I sort of alluded to already, the integrations space is the more things that get integrated with each other to provide better data and you know, more automated solutions. That's what really excites me. I've recently been learning how to read API to get my knowledge up on that and how to use it. So that's an area personally which I find quite interesting and exciting, that the fact that you can just join solutions together and automate processes. That's what really gets my brain working anyway.
Yeah, I think the API space especially, like, I think whilst we talk about collaboration, we talk about kind of acquisition and stuff, I think actually maybe the API space might actually be where the real interesting stuff happens. Because like you said, you know, Xero have always built, had a great API, QuickBooks as well, you know, where apps can integrate. But actually it's when apps start to integrate with each other to provide solutions. I think that's when it's going to get really, really exciting. Look, Rowan, fascinating stuff as always, and thank you so much for joining us and sharing your thoughts on all of that. Rowan, where can people find out a little bit more about App Advisory Plus?
Yeah, to find out a little bit more, just go to appadvisoryplus.com. We've got a directory of over around 500 apps, but the key thing for us is that we've put filtering criteria and recommendations in for a vast amount of different industry sectors to help people get to, you know, a short list of what they might want to investigate a bit quicker than you would on a normal marketplace.
Perfect. Well, look, thank you very much once again. Great to talk to you. So, for those new to Capitalize, we are a funding and capital platform designed to support accountants to build healthy balance sheets and relationships with their SME clients. Don't forget to tune in every Friday on this podcast feed for our new weekly show, Friday Breakfast with Phil and Kirsty, our bite-sized wrap-up of the key stories for accountants and business advisors across the week. And no, not that Phil and Kirsty, this Phil and Kirsty. I know we get confused all the time. And for those of you who don't already, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Amazon Music, and of course on all good platforms that host podcasts. And for more about the Future Positive podcast and Capitalize, check out capitalize.com. And yeah, we're on all the socials. We've got an Instagram account and everything. We're very tech savvy here. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Kirsty, once again for joining me. Thanks, Rowan, for coming on to join us. And we will be back with another episode shortly. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.